The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afshu salam, spread the greeting of salam amongst you. At'imu ta'am, feed the people. Sallu billayli wan nasu nayam, pray at night when people are sleeping. Tadkhulul janna bi salam, you will enter paradise in peace." What else are the characteristics of Ibadur Rahman? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ, those who do not invoke any god along with Allah. Tawheed, whatever they do is for the sake of Allah and Allah alone. No believing that dead people or saints or scholars are going to grant me whatever I'm asking. And this is really the meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Allah, you alone do we worship and you alone do we ask for help. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, "Setting up equals to Allah is a subtle form of shirk. It is more subtle than an ant stealthily walking on a smooth black surface in the thick of darkness. It is when someone swears by something other than the name of Allah, or believes that dogs or ducks keep the thief away. It is when someone says by the will of God and the will of man, or were it not for God and you." It is also reported that a man once came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Whatever you and God will." The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, "Do you take me as an equal to God?" And if he forbade the man that don't set me up as an equal to God, then what price scholars and other pious people, no matter how great they might have been? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ means لا إله إلا الله, all worship for Allah alone, duas for Allah alone, salah for Allah alone. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ توحيد. Remember, Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ وَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ يَغْفِرُ مِن دُونِ ذَلِكْ مَا يَشَى. Allah does not forgive that any partners will be set up to him. Shirk is the unforgivable crime. Then, وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّذِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, and they do not kill the soul that Allah has prohibited except with truth. In other words, they do not kill anyone. They do not take anyone's life unjustly. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and they do not commit adultery. Now three major crimes have been mentioned here side by side. What's the link between them? All three are forms of zulm, injustice, and all three are forms of betrayal. And all three are unforgivable crimes unless you repent. Number one, shirk. Number two, murder. And number three, zina. Is there a way out? Allah says, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا, whoever does this shall receive the punishment. يُدَعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the torment will be doubled to him on the day of judgment. وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مَهَانًا, he will live therein in humiliation. But Allah says, one door has been left open. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ, except the one who repents. وَآمَنَ, and believes. وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, and does good deeds. It's narrated that a woman came up to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. When he asked her what her problem was, she related with shame that she had committed adultery, she had borne a child, and then because she was not married, she'd killed the child. Now after doing this terrible deed, she felt great shame and remorse. And she came crying and asking, "Is there any way out? Is there any way I can repent?" And he said, "No." So she turned away weeping and saying, "Alas, that I am doomed to the fire." Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu mentioned this story to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instantly chided him. When Abu Huraira realized his mistake, he was petrified at what he had done, and so he ran around looking for that woman. He couldn't find her, and finally he managed to trace her. And that shows how careful they were about their words. Not, "Well, it wasn't my fault and I really did think that." No, he managed to find her, and when he found her and he told her, then that woman repented and she fell into a sajda and she gave sadqat and presumably was forgiven by Allah. Now the important thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us here is let people do tawbah, let them turn back. There are many cases that we know of where sometimes young girls or women or even men make a mistake and nobody lets them forget it. Alright, so they committed a folly. They committed an act of folly. Now let them get over it. Let them turn back to Allah. And if that person tries to turn towards Allah, he meets with such derision, so many taunts. "Well, look at you. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? You've done all that you wanted to do and now you're turning towards Allah." They taunt him or her so much that the poor person just gives up in despair. Let people make their tawbah. Otherwise, God forbid, we will be answerable for having kept one person from Allah. And this is also true of when we are inviting people towards Islam. Sometimes we give them such a bleak picture that they think, what's the point? I'm doomed to hell anyway. Look at the words of hope that Allah gives us. Illa man taba. Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu was once visited by a man who said, I have sinned repeatedly. Is there any way out? Ibn Masud's eyes filled with tears and he said, Paradise has 8 doors, sometimes open, sometimes shut, but one door is eternally open and that is the door of repentance. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except one who repents and he believes. Why does Allah mention Iman here? When any one of us does a sin or commits a sin, what happens is that our Iman becomes dimmed. For instance, people who commit major acts of major sins and major crimes, then they find that their Iman is totally weak and it becomes really feeble. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the importance of constant istighfar. When he was asked that, why do you read istighfar so many times? He used to read it 70 times a day. And he told the people that he read it to lessen that feeling of aloofness that comes upon us from Allah. You know, there are times you're praying but you just cannot concentrate. There are times you're listening to the Quran but it's not moving you. Your heart is as hard as a rock. So how do you lessen that feeling? How do you soften your heart? By constant istighfar. And anyone who's committed any sin, and who is there amongst us who has not committed a sin, then this is what we need to do. Number one, tawbah. Number two, amana. Because a scholar once said, repentance is like becoming a Muslim again. That you renew your faith, you renew your commitment. And tawbah is not just words. Wa amila amalan saliha. Now you have to do good deeds, as many as you can. In the Quran, Allah has told us, innal hasanati yuzhibna sayyi'at. Beautiful deeds wipe out ugly deeds. And this is what Tawbah teaches us. This is the Tawbah Allah accepts. فَأُولَٰئِكَ. Not that you've just said Tawbah, Tawbah, and you think that's the end of the story. No. عَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Good deeds to make up for it. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Such Allah will change their sins into good deeds. Subhanallah. Do you doubt that? Does that seem too far-fetched or too easy? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah is forgiving. Allah is repeatedly merciful. Do you know what ghafoor means? One who covers up. Think of the way we forgive people. We're constantly reminding them of it or mentioning it to people. Only Allah is ghafoor, that He covers up. He will not tell anyone about that sin of yours. He will save your pride and He will save your dignity. And Rahim, He will give you another chance. وَمَنْ تَابَ. Again Allah repeats. Whoever repents, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and does good deeds, فَإِنَّهُ يَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَتَابًا. Then he repents towards Allah with true repentance. This is the meaning of true tawbah. What else do عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانُ do? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. It's such a beautiful portrait. Do's and don'ts. حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ. All interwoven. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. Those who do not bear witness to falsehood. Truth is an integral part of the mu'min's life, of his speech, of his conduct, of his behavior, his actions, his pursuits and hobbies. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a narration from Tirmizi, truth leads to goodness and goodness leads to Jannah. A man persists in speaking the truth till he is enrolled with Allah as a truthful person. Lies lead to falsehood or wickedness, and wickedness leads to Jahannam. A man persists in lying till he is enrolled with Allah as a liar. And think of all the times that we justify, oh, it's just a little white lie. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ. They don't bear witness to falsehood. Now, this doesn't simply mean that they're telling the truth. It means that they're seeing the truth, they're hearing the truth, they're witnessing the truth. Their whole life is a testimony of La ilaha illallah. As Amina Asilmi put it, we are the mirror through which people see Islam. We are shuhada ala nas. We're the witnesses over mankind. And someone who is witnessing or bearing witness to the truth cannot afford to let any lies enter his life, whether through his eyes or his ears or his mind. These are people who don't have time for foolish pursuits. وَإِذَا مَرُّ بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّ كِرَامًا. Some evil talk or some evil play, they pass it by with dignity. Laghv is actually anything and everything that does not concern us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in a narration from Tirmizi, do not indulge in excessive talk except when remembering Allah. Sometimes you have long, aimless conversations and you don't even mention Allah at all. excessive talk without the remembrance of Allah hardens the heart. وَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْقَلْبُ الْقَاسِي. Those who are the farthest from Allah are those whose hearts are hard. This doesn't mean that you're only allowed to talk about the Quran or you're only allowed to talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It simply means that your conversation should not just be useless conversation just for the sake of talking. It should have a sound, constructive purpose behind it. And love applies to every pursuit, every hobby with which we fill our time or we occupy our sight or our hearing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi." The beauty of a man's Islam is when he leaves that which does not concern him. And think of the way we're obsessed with things that don't concern us, whether it's idle gossip or it's idle programs or it's idle sounds or it's idle sights. Why is this so important? The importance of not wasting your time in love is simply this, that the moment is constantly aware that time is running out. It's like an hourglass is before you and the sand is running out as swiftly as can be. So the moment doesn't have time to waste. A scholar once said, "I knew a people who are as careful with their time as you are with your dinars and dirhams." And that really frightened me. You know, there are people, if you've seen people who are stingy, they're very careful with the way they spend their money. Are we so careful with our time? Do we even realize that we have to be careful with our time? That every moment will have to be accounted for? Imam Razi said about the famous surah, Surah Al-Asr, in which Allah swears by time that everyone is losing except those who believe and do good deeds and enjoy in patience and enjoy in the truth. He said, "I never understood the meaning of this surah till I saw an ice seller selling his ice in the daytime and crying out, 'People, have mercy on the one whose treasure is melting away.' And that's when I understood that time is like ice which is melting away in the sunlight. Think of how many years have gone by without our even realizing. Think of how many are going by without our even caring. And think of the day of reckoning when a person will say, 'Rabbi lawla akhartani ila ajalin qareeb.' Allah, why didn't you give me some more time? One more day. Fa asaddaqa, then I would have given that sadqa that I was planning to someday. Wa akum min as-salihin, then I would have been of those who are righteous." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the mu'min knows his time is running out. Idha marru billaghwi marru kirama. Again, the dignity of the mu'min is mentioned. Not that you're passing by people who are wasting their time and you stand there, start informing them that they're all going to hell. Marru kirama, they pass by with dignity because they don't have time to waste. And this silence and this dignity will be far more effective in conveying to people the importance of time than any long lectures filled with hatred. Marru kirama, they pass by with dignity. And this was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What then do they spend their time in? وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. Those who, when they are reminded of the verses of their Lord, لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا السُّمُّ وَعُمْيَانَا. They do not fall deaf and blind thereat. Do you know the key word in this verse? ذُكِّرُوا, when they are reminded. Think of our arrogant attitude towards the Quran. I've read it. I've been through the Quran. I teach the Quran. Someone tells you a verse from the Quran. Someone tells you to come and listen to the Quran. And people will say things like, "I've heard it. I've listened to it many times. I listened to it in my car. I know the Quran." Na'uzubillah. Who is there amongst us who can make this claim that I know the Quran? And if we know the Quran, why aren't we teaching the Quran? And if we're teaching the Quran, then we should be even more aware that we need to be constantly reminded of what's in the Quran. Throughout the Quran, you will find Allah mentions those who listen to the Quran. Not just those who are teaching. The reward for teaching is very great as well, but the first stage in the process of acquiring knowledge is that of listening. The embryo in the mother's womb listens. He cannot see, he cannot speak, but he can listen. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. What is the attitude? Not, "Well, I know it all." لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلَيْهَا السُّمُّ وَعُمْيَانَا. They do not fall, they are deaf and blind. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us something which is really a way by which we can judge ourselves and our response to the Quran. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "The guidance and knowledge with which Allah sent me are like abundant rain which has fallen on some ground. A fertile part of it absorbed the water and brought forth profuse herbage and pasture." This is the best part of the land that absorbed the water and also brought forth pasture and vegetation. "And there were some hollow patches of land which retained the water by which Allah has benefited people who drank from it, irrigated their crops and sowed their seeds." Now the second kind of land, it's not benefited itself. No vegetation came out, but it stored the water, so people drank from it. But some of it has fallen on another bare and barren portion of land, which could not retain the water or produce vegetation. Such is the example of the person who becomes well-versed in Allah's religion and receives benefit from the message entrusted to me by Allah, so he himself has learned and taught it to others. The fertile land is the person who acts upon it and conveys. The land that was hard itself but retained the water is someone who did not act upon it, but at least he conveyed. And the worst kind of land, totally barren, the person who did not listen, who did not accept, and neither did he convey. And we can judge for ourselves where we stand today. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ Those who, when they are reminded of the signs of their Lord, لَمْ يَخِرُّ عَلَيْهَا سُمَّا وَعُمْيَانَا They do not fall deaf and blind thereat. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ And those who say, again their prayers are mentioned. Prayers reflect our ambitions, our innermost yearnings. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ O our Lord, bestow on us from our spouses and our children the comfort of our eyes. This is the balance of Islam. Not that you're spending all your time on the prayer mat and you don't have time for your wife, or you don't have time for your family and children. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ لِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ Your body has a right upon you. Your eyes have a right upon you. Your spouse has a right upon you. Your visitor has a right upon you. He always emphasized, خَيْرُ الْأُمُورِ أَوْسَطُهَا The best course of action is that which is the most moderate, because that's what you can sustain. Now here in this prayer we find that the mu'mineen recognize that we can only spread peace outside if there is internal peace. Unless and until our homes become centers of peace and harmony, how can we become torchbearers of this peace throughout the world? One of the major reasons that Muslims are unable to communicate peace to the rest of the world is because there is no peace within us. There is no peace in our relationships. There is no peace in our families. Every family has a broken home in it. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا These are our first and foremost responsibility. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا Save yourselves and your families from the fire. This is what we will be asked about first of all, and then about the rest of the world. But we will be asked that as well, lest we think, okay, I'm just focusing on my children. قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ This is really beautiful. Islam is not prescribed monasticism that you are supposed to give up your family and go and live in a cave. No. Make of us from our spouses and our children qurrata ayun, the comfort of our eyes. Let them be supporters of our cause. Let us all work together in serving your deen. And you've all have, I mean, if you've ever come across a family where each member is involved in serving Islam, it's a beautiful example, beautiful role model. Why was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam such a powerful example? Because his wives and his children and his friends, they were all dedicated. What bound them together with that golden thread was love of Allah. They were all serving the same cause. There was no hypocrisy, there was no contradiction. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of leaders and the best of husbands, the best of friends and the best of fathers. And this is what he said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي The best among you is the one who is the best to his family, and I am the best among you to my family. And this is something that religious people sometimes forget, and then people look at them and say, well, if that's religion, we don't want it. رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ Allah, bind us together in your love for serving your deen. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا Make us leaders of the muttaqeen, not leaders of fashion, not leaders of the political scenario, leaders of the muttaqeen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, By Allah, if a single person is guided by Allah through you, it will be better for you than a whole lot of red camels. Bukhari and Muslim. Red camels in those days were very expensive and valuable. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, He who calls others to follow the right guidance will have a reward equal to the reward of those who follow him without their reward being diminished in any respect on that account. Imagine the sadqa jariya. And of course we know that when a man dies, in a narration from Muslim, his deeds come to an end except for three things. Sadqa jariya, that charity which goes on till the end of time. A knowledge which is beneficial. You've taught one person how to pray. As long as he is praying and he's teaching others how to pray, your good deeds are being enriched. or a good child who prays for him. وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. This is very important. Not make us leaders of the Muslims of the Muttaqeen. Because أَلْمَرْءُ عَلَى دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ. A man is upon the religion of his friend. May our companions be Muttaqeen, and may we be the Sabiqoon amongst those Muttaqeen. Not the followers standing at the fringe, can't make up their mind whether we're of the Muttaqeen or the Fasiqeen, leaders of the Muttaqeen. In other words, let us be of the Sabiqoon. Let us be those who are racing towards goodness, who are setting the precedent for others to follow. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salaka tariqan yabtaghi fihi ilman." This is about becoming imaman lil Muttaqeen. He who follows a path in quest of knowledge, سَحَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make the path of paradise easy to him. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَصْنَعُ. The angels lower their wings over the seeker of knowledge, being pleased with what he does. وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمِ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحِيتَانُ فِي الْمَاءِ. All the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, even the fish in the depth of the oceans, seek forgiveness for the one who has knowledge. وَفَضْلُ الْعَالَمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. The superiority of the learned person, this is someone who has knowledge and he acts upon it, over the devout worshipper is like that of the full moon to the rest of the stars. The learned are the heirs of the prophets, who bequeath neither dinar nor dirham, but only that of knowledge. And he who acquires it has in fact acquired an abundant portion. Abu Dawud and Tirmizi. Remember, at the end of the day, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, a believer is never satisfied with goodness till he reaches Jannah. Tirmizi. No complacency, no, well, I've done enough now for this year. On and on, more and more heights to seek, more and more peaks to conquer. Bi-iznillah. أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَةَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Those will be rewarded with the highest place in paradise. And the key word here is بِمَا صَبَرُوا, because they were constant and they did not give up. يُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحِيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. Therein they shall be met with greetings and the word of peace and respect. In a narration we learn that the reader of the Quran will be told, recite and ascend. With each verse that you recite, in other words, that each verse that person is reciting, he will go higher and higher. Your final abode is the height you reach at the last verse you recite. And then, this is Jannah. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And it's forever. حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. What a beautiful abode. What a beautiful place to rest in. I'd like to end with a hadith from Bukhari in which قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَّلَّمُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى يَقُولُ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will say to the people of paradise, يَا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ. O people of paradise, فَيَقُولُونَ. They will say, لَبَّيْكَ رَبَّنَا وَسَعْدَيْكَ. O our Lord, here we are. فَيَقُول. Allah will say, هَلْ رَضِيتُمْ. Are you pleased? فيقولون. They will say, وَمَا لَنَا لَا نَرْضَى. How can we not be pleased? وَقَدْ أَعْطَيْتَنَا. You have given us, مَا لَمْ تُعْطِ أَحَدًا مِّنْ خَلْقِكَ. Which you have not given to any one of your creation. فيقول. Allah will say, أَنَا أُعْطِيكُمْ أَفْضَلَ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. I will give you something better than that. قَالُوا يَا رَبِّي. O our Lord, they will say, وَأَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلُ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ. What can be better than this? فَيَقُولُ. Allah will say, أُحِلُّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِضْوَانِي. I will bestow my pleasure upon you. فَلَا أَسْخَطُ عَلَيْكُمْ بَعْدَهُ أَبَدًا. And I will never be angry with you after this. Do you know that each person who enters paradise will be shown the place he would have occupied in hell if he had rejected faith? That he may be more thankful, and each person who enters hell will be shown the place he could have had in paradise if he had had faith, so that may be a cause of sorrow for him. May Allah make us of the people of paradise, and may Allah grant us all these deeds that we have read. Now, if we do a quick summing up of all the deeds and all the actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, what was the first thing? Ibadur Rahman. Allah mentioned their conduct. They walk on the earth softly. When the foolish address them, they reply back with words of peace. They don't stoop to their level. They control their speech. They control their conduct. Gentleness, humility. Then came tahajjud, that they pray tahajjud, seeking Allah's pleasure. And the most important dua that they pray is, رَبَّنَا صْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ, Allah save us from hell. Then Allah described their spending, and even their spending is moderate. They spend on themselves, but they spend on the people around them, those who need them, those who need the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to all of us as a test to see how we use it. Then Allah speaks about the way that these people stay away from the kabair. Not that they're doing good deeds and at the same time they think, because I read tahajjud, I can also do what I like. Otherwise, no, they stay away from the major sins. Then Allah introduced us to the concept of tawbah, that even if we have made mistakes, because we're human and we will, then it's never too late to turn back. And you can make tawbah at any moment of your life, and if you make it sincerely, with a sincere effort to give up that sin, inshallah, Allah will accept it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبُلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرِّرْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, a person's tawbah is accepted as long as he does not utter the final dying gasp. Then we come to the focus of the muttaqeen's life. What is their focus? That they spare their time. They spend their time with care because they know how precious it is, and they don't waste their time in love or false or foolish pursuits. Then Allah spoke about their attitude towards knowledge. No matter how much they know, the Quran is tazkira, something to be read again and again, something to be mentioned again and again. And this is the book of Allah. You will all have seen, each time you notice it, you see a new angle. Each time you open it, you discover a new meaning. And this is the beauty and depth of the Quran. And then finally, the other prayer that Allah mentions is that they pray that their families are also their supporters in this path. That their families are also people that bring peace to them. So there's inward peace and outward. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. And this is the summit of the ambition, that Allah let us be of the sabiqoon. Not people who are content to grudgingly just say, oh well, I don't care which part of paradise I get. Just even one corner. In dunya we want the best. But when it comes to akhira, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the dua of ibadur rahman is, Allah make us the best. Make us leaders of the best. And then, for such people who always gave Allah their best or tried to, أُولَٰئِكَ يُجْزَوْنَ الْغُرْفَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. Now the beautiful thing about sabr is that Allah will not look at your result, He will look at your effort. It's not about how many people you were able to teach, it's about how hard you tried. It's not about how many nafals you read at night, it's about how fervently you focused upon Allah while you were praying them. وَيُلَقَّوْنَ فِيهَا تَحَيَّةً وَسَلَامًا. And therein they shall be met with greetings and a word of peace and respect. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. And this is forever. حَسُنَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. What a beautiful place to live in, and what a beautiful place to rest in. It's said that when someone is entered, even just dipped into paradise, he forgets every misery, every grief that he ever suffered in the world. And if he's asked, did you ever suffer any hardship in the world? He says, no, none whatsoever. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin, kama sallaita ala Ibrahima wa ala ali Ibrahima, innaka hamidun majid. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق. Allah purify our hearts from hypocrisy and our deeds from showing off and our tongues from lying and our hearts from betrayal, for you know the betrayal of the eyes and that which the hearts conceal. Allah, accept what we have learned, accept our pathetic, meager efforts in this month of Ramadan. Magnify them, enfold us in your mercy and love. Allah, forgive us our sins and save us from the fire. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma innaka afuwwun kareem, tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. اللہم اجرنا من النار، اللہم اجرنا من النار. Allah, make our hearts soft, grant us qalbun salim, make us all souls at peace, and grant us maqadi sidqin near you, the station of truth with you on the day of judgment and in paradise. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil karim.